Blog Talk Radio.
Can you make money for what they pay those
kind of
guys to that?
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys. You know, special UFC 245 Friday night edition. Ready to get it in. Hope everybody's doing well. Everybody getting their Christmas shopping done. But Christmas kind of early for us UFC fans this year. Saturday night, the biggest fight card of the year. So, yeah, me and my man Keys up here. We got a lot to talk about tonight. What's up, Keys?
So, I'm going to make some money. I asked you this question a year ago, I think, maybe even a year and a half ago.
Yo, well, Keys.
Thank you for being involved. Thank you for being
involved.
Yo.
What's up?
Well, bro, what's going on?
Hey, you wouldn't have to wait for me. I just had to get a couple of things in order so I could sit down and really break down all these fights that I'm going to break down.
I know. I got it. I got you. Yeah, man. It's a big card this weekend, man.
Hell yeah. Yeah, this is it's going to be crazy. You know, we're having kind of like a little fight party. Not really. I mean, friend of a friend is like celebrating the graduation, and then so we're going to the party, but we're actually going to order the pay-per-view at the party. A couple of people at the party throwing down for the pay-per-view, and of course there'll be drinks and things like that. So, kind of like a little fight party. So I'm pumped. I'm pumped, man. I'm ready to go.
That's what's up, man. I'm having a fight party tomorrow, so you know I'm gonna have some friends over. You know, cook a little bit of food, have a little bit of drinks and stuff. A lot of people supposed to be coming over, so. We'll probably have a fight upstairs in the living room and downstairs in the basement. So, you know, looking forward to that tomorrow. Hey, man, but before we jump into this card, I got to ask you about something that's actually becoming an issue in the UFC, and I really don't think a lot of fans are paying attention to it. Did you see that Henry Cejudo said that if the money ain't right for his next fight, that he's not going to fight, and he will request his release from the UFC. I think this money thing is really going to become an issue with UFC fighters, man. And Colby Covington said that if the money ain't right for his next title fight, that he won't fight again until the money is right. So, do you think this money issue is becoming a problem? Or do you think guys are just poking their chest out because they're a champion? Well, Kobe ain't even a champion. So, but Cejudo is. But do you think this money thing is going to become a problem? Or do you think it's just a couple guys just complaining about it?
I mean, yeah, I mean, Covington's not even the champion. But even then, though, it's like, you know, I don't think that. I mean, to me, it's like, it just seems like now, every time somebody becomes a champion that is demanding these big paydays, and it's like, you don't see guys like John Jones, you know, demanding these huge paydays. I mean, I really don't have the numbers up in front of me of what all these guys made in their last fight, but I would like to think that the numbers are fairly close for what they're making for their title fights, you know, these couple of guys, and most of the champions are in a, I mean, and a lot of it has to do with the management. I mean, if you look at, you know, a lot of these guys, it has to do with the management. If you look at who we just, okay, so this weekend just passed, look who we just saw fight in the main event, Alistair Overeem. This is a perfect example. I'm glad you brought this up. Alistair Overeem is he may be the highest paid fighter in the UFC, the highest paid non-champion, because I know sometimes, you know, there's champions making $1 million and things like that in big fights. You know, the Jones Cormier too. I think that those guys made $1 million apiece. But the highest paid non-champion, I want to say, is Alistair Overeem, and he made, I want to say, upwards of $700,000 for his fight this past weekend where he lost. So that is a thing that these fighters, I think, is the answer, and it could be an answer in this equation. It's just the management, because I want to say that Alistair Overeem's manager is Ali Abdelaziz, maybe I'm wrong. I might be wrong on that, but I want to say that's his manager. And if you notice, a lot of the guys that are managed by him, they tend to negotiate, you know, good things for those fighters. They get the big fights that they want, things like that. So I think Cejudo is also managed by him, but I'm not even sure about who they were managed by, to be honest. I'm just saying that is definitely a factor in this, is fighters need to have their managers negotiate their contracts better. So I think that would help a lot, because fighters would be getting paid a bit more for those big fights. But also at the same time is, I think fighters, and this is me more in my being some more subjective and just my personal opinion, I think that fighters are getting a little bit too choosy with, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but they're getting a bit too greedy, I guess, to say, with how much money they want to get paid. Like I kind of said when I started out, it's like every time a guy gets UFC gold now, like all of a sudden they don't want to fight, or like they want a super fight, or they're not fighting, or they, you know, want $1 million and they're not fighting. Like, how come every time you become a champion, there has to be this new stipulation, as if you're like a whole new person? You know, I don't like that. It's just starting to seem like guys don't want to fight anymore. Right once they get the title, now they don't want to fight unless there's all these circumstances. So, guys are getting a little bit too, you know, they're getting spoiled out here. And you, like I said, you don't see guys like John Jones doing that. He's got like, you know, 20 titles. He's got like 25 title defenses at this point. You know, about to go on 26 in a couple months. And you don't see him talking about this. He just goes out and beats guys up, and he gets paid. I never heard of John Jones asking for, you know, all these higher, you know, asking prices and things like that. You don't hear about this. These fighters, you don't hear about this from Shevchenko. She goes out there and defends her title. You know, I think she defended her title 3 times in the last year. You never heard once about her asking for more money, or she's not going to fight. She goes out there and fights. So people like that, I admire that. You know, that attitude. But these good fighters getting a little bit too greedy, too spoiled to me.
Yeah, man. I think personally, this is going to become an issue, because the thing is when you look at UFC and you look at boxing, UFC is more popular than boxing right now. But boxers make a whole hell of a lot more money. And I think UFC fighters are starting to look at boxing. They know they're not going to make boxing money, but they're looking at it as if we could make more money. So I don't know how the UFC can fix this. I know I've said it before, and I know that a lot of people that are big MMA UFC fans will hate this. Excuse me, I'm doing my show, and one thing with, if the fighters were to form a union, with a union you could develop some kind of pay scale. Okay, between fight one and fight five, you fit in this pay scale. Between fight five and fight 10, you fit in this pay scale. If you become a champion, your first title defense, you fit in this pay scale. You know, your second title defense, you know, stuff like that. I think a lot of people, they think of a union, they think of baseball, because baseball has a union that basically, they will go on strike. They don't care about, you know, I ain't gonna say that they don't care about the fans, but they willing to give up seasons if they strike. NFL players might strike, but they don't stand strong. So normally you'll see players cave in. But one part about UFC fighters able to ever unionize, there'll be an issue. Is fighters are individual contractors. Basically, they're gonna do what's best for him or herself. They probably could care less about the next guy, but I think they need to shift the focus to being I'm an individual fighter, but I'm part of a team of assets. The fighters are the assets. The UFC is the company. Without the assets, you don't have a company. So I wouldn't be surprised if within the next year or two that there's a union formed in UFC, maybe MMA overall. But this money issue will become a problem, and the UFC either needs to come up with a pay bracket, a pay scale, or some kind of pay system, because if not, you're going to see more and more guys and girls probably turning down fights because they don't like the way the money is. And that was one of the biggest issues that Nate and Nick Diaz had with the UFC, is that they felt, you know, that they weren't getting paid enough. And, you know, there's a lot of fighters out there that feel like they're not getting paid enough. But they the ones that actually came out and actually said it. And now you see Cejudo voicing it. You see Kobe voicing it. But it's something that needs to be addressed in the UFC. As much as we love the sport, at the same time, we want to see the fighters get compensated for what they do, being that every time they step into the octagon, they're putting their health on the line. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, actually, that, you know, I like that point you made right there. That was actually something that was in my mind when you originally asked the question. Is you said, is it going to become an issue? And that popped into my mind, the Fighters Union. And I believe GSP was pushing for a Fighters Union about 4 or 5 years ago, I think, when he was first in talks to come back. And then and I think Leslie Smith was really pushing for a Fighters Union. But yeah, I was going to say that. And then I got kind of sidetracked with management and talking about some other things I was saying. I tend to ramble. But yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I think that would be a good move for these fighters to start a Fighters Union. I think that's a bit overdue in the UFC at this point.
I don't think the UFC will want it, because basically once you get a union, it's just so many things that is kind of out of the organization's hands, because the fighters no more depend on the organization. They depend on their union, and I think that could be a problem for the UFC. But at the same time, a problem for the UFC could be a solution for the fighters. So we'll have to see how it goes. But I just think this is going to be an issue, especially if Floyd Mayweather comes in and becomes a promoter. I think Floyd will try to bring the boxing thing to the UFC, which will definitely not be good for Dana White and the UFC.
Man, I just want to say one thing. First of all, I agree. Second of all, I've never seen Caitlin Chukagan. The one that's fighting Shevchenko. I knew who she was, but I never seen her. Like, I never saw her face before. And, man, she's pretty hot, dude. I'm liking this press conference, man. I'm like, damn. I was like, what's Holly Holm doing up there? Holly Holm's fighting again? And then I was like, wait a second. Her face looks a little different. That's not Holly Holm. That's Chukagan. kind of looks like Holly Holm, though. Well, it was just a blonde, but I thought it was her for a second, but nah, she, man, she looks good up on that stage, bro. I'll tell you, she looks good.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, it's some hotties in mixed martial arts, man. It's some bad ones.
I'm excited,
boy,
about this fight now, bro. I'm excited.
I just wish they did the sexy. I wish they did the sexy stare downs again, man. Like Michelle Waterson and damn, who did she do that with? Was it Shevchenko? Nah, it wasn't her. I can't remember who she did the sexy stare down with, but I was like, yeah, I'm all for this.
Wait, what was it?
I can't remember. I'm gonna look it up though. Man, who did she fight, man? They did the sexy stare down, and they was
Paige VanZant.
They was in their little dresses and stuff.
Paige VanZant.
Maybe.
I remember it. Watterson, she was. Yeah, I think I remember what you're talking about. Yeah, Watterson. Yeah. Watterson is it. She, man, there's a lot of beautiful fighters out here, man. They're killing me. It's just. Yeah, maybe they can bring that back. I think I might need to see that for this fight here for True Kagan. I might need to see that. So they can bring those stare downs back for this fight now. I never saw her before until 2 minutes ago. I never saw her face. I've seen her fight in the octagon, but they look a lot different when they're fighting. I never saw her at the press conference. They usually look everybody, you know. Yeah, Reyes is like wearing like almost like a suit jacket and everything. Like guys usually dress up more, and the girls kind of look a bit more dolled up sometimes at the press conference, depending on who it is. So usually see them look a lot different than when they look in the cage. Don't really recognize people like that. At least I don't. But yeah, you want to get into these predictions? UFC 245.
Yeah, man, let's
go. We wait.
No, let's roll.
Okay. Okay, so let me pull up the card because I know the card. Like, all right, so I know the main card, that's the top five fights off the top of my head, the three title fights. Then you have Peter Yan fight with Faber, and then the Aldo fight, and then you have Mike Perry is fighting Neil. I don't know if it's Jeff Neal or, yeah, I want to say Jeff Neal.
Jeff Neal.
Yeah, Jeff Neal. I know that fight is there. And then there's some other ones on the prelims, too. So you want to do, do predictions for those six? Or is there other ones that you want to do, too? Because I'll look it up.
Let's do, all right.
Hold on. Let me pull up the full card.
All right.
I want to pull up
because I know we
right
got
now.
Actually the prelims are actually pretty dope too. They got some good fights on the prelims and the early prelims. This card is stacked, man. This card is super duper stacked.
Hold up. Jan. Jeff Neal, Kevin Vera's fighting. Oh. Yo, I didn't realize my girl Irene Aldana is fighting on this card too. I did not know that. That's crazy, man. Yo, I'm telling you. My girl, she's number 10 in the bantamweight rankings. She's fighting the number 2, debatably like the number 1 contender, because you already have the Nunes and the number 1 contender. So really, the next in line, man, if this is a big fight for her. This is a really big fight for her right now. I'm a big fan of Irene Aldana. She's been looking really good. She's been
all right,
been looking
let's
really
start
good.
Since you're talking about it,
yeah.
Who you got in this fight?
Yeah, so yeah, that Matt Brown.
You got
Caitlin Vieira
versus Irene Aldana.
That's a killer fight, man, because Vieira is. She's really good, too. I've watched, you know, one or two of her fights. She's really good, too. Yeah. I mean, I just, it's been a while. I mean, I really don't know. Like, I haven't, to really, like, judge it objectively, I would probably have to go back and, like, watch more, like, tape and really do the eye test to be able to see who I think is at least, like, looked better lately. Because I've watched Irene Aldana's fights, but I haven't been watching Caitlin Vera's. I haven't seen her fight, and probably her last one, I probably missed her last fight, so I really don't know where she's at with her skill set right now, but I'm sure she looks good. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the home team. My girl Irene Aldana is gonna pull it out. I think unanimous decision.
I'm gonna go with Vieira, man. I think this is definitely a super step up in our competition for your girl Aldana. You know, fighting Vieira. I think Vieira, even though she's 10-0, I'm looking at her record and I'm looking at her build. She looks pretty stout. So just going off of that, because like you said, I've seen Aldana fight. Because you did, I think I read a write up that you wrote on her before about her being on one of the fights to watch, and she's actually pretty good. But I'm gonna go with Vieira, man. She's 10-0, Brazil. They're normally pretty tough girls, so I'm gonna take Vieira in that one.
Yo, pause right there. John Jones is going off on Dominic Reyes right now at this press conference. Man, your boy is going off on him. Wow, that's pretty crazy. Did you see the press conference?
Nah.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off. I just happened to be watching at the same time, and wow. Yeah, you got to go back and watch this. So, you end up picking Caitlin Vera, and how do you see her winning the fight?
I'm going to go with a decision. Split decision.
Yeah, I could see this one going the distance, and you know, it being a nail-biter and people not really knowing who the judge is going to give the fight to. I could see that happen. All right, so the next one, this is a true banger of a fight. This is a true, true banger. This is another one of my, like, favorite fighters to watch. Back to back, Mike Perry is fighting Jeff Neal, number 14. Jeff Neal's looked good, too. I want to say I saw a piece of his last fight, and he looked really good. And Mike Perry, I want to say Mike Perry lost his last fight, but it was a good fight, though. I can't remember who he fought, but... It wasn't Felder. I can't remember who Perry fought in his last one, to be honest. But do you remember who Perry fought in his last fight?
He fought he fought somebody actually pretty good because he ended up getting hurt. I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, he fought the dude that Wonder Boy just fought.
Yeah, Vicente Luque. He lost to Vicente Luque via split decision.
You know, man, though, I really don't think, you know, I don't know. I mean, I didn't see the fight, but, you know, just the way both of their faces looked, I'm surprised they didn't call that a split draw and do a rematch because it didn't really seem like either guy, I don't know. I mean, that fight to me just, I didn't see the fight, but just basing off the way they looked, it didn't look like either guy was really getting over on the other one. So, I don't know. You know, I really haven't seen that much of Jeff Neal, to be honest, as much as I've seen of Mike Perry. So it's easy for me to just lean Perry. But usually when I expect him to win, he loses. So, I don't know. Who do you have for this one? You go first.
We'll take a Jeff Neal, man. I think Mike Perry talks a good game, but I don't think he's not that good of a fighter. I mean, he's a good action fighter as far as, you know, getting in there, banging, and, you know, training and stuff like that. But as far as being a technical guy, he's not technical at all. He doesn't have good defense. I think Jeff Neal is going to I think there's a chance Jeff Neal might finish Mike Perry. I just think Mike Perry is a name right now. You know, he talks a good game. He's good on social media. But he really hasn't shown me anything in his game that goes outside of, you know, what we've seen from him. We know that, yeah, he's going to come in. He's going to stand in front of a guy. He's going to trade. But outside of that, what else has he showed us? And then in his last five fights, it's been loss, win, loss, win, loss. So if you look at it that way, then he should be in line for a win. But I think Jeff Neal finishes him. And I think Mike Perry will be a guy that will stay, you know, fighting on fight cards or whatever. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So, I don't know, man. I'm going with Jeff Neal in this one. Like I said, Mike Perry, his last 10 fights, he got 5 wins and 5 losses. So, I'm going with Jeff Neal.
And, I'm just ready to.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with you on that one. I'll take Jeff Neal, too, but. Yeah, what do you say, TKO? I'll take Jeff Neal to say whatever you said.
I think he's going to knock him out. I think he's going to knock Mike Perry out.
Yeah, I'll go with you. Same as that. Jeff Neal by finish. So, because if I went, usually when I don't know a fighter, they surprise me, and also when I expect Perry to win, he loses. When I expect him to lose, he wins. Like when he fought Felder, I kind of expected him to lose, and then he won. So, yeah, that is just a perfect example of that. And that was a great fight, by the way. I wouldn't mind seeing them fight again sometime down the line, Perry and Felder. Anyways, the next fight is Peter Yan and Uriah Faber. So this one, I was actually thinking about this one a good amount earlier. And I'm going with Peter Yan on this one because Uriah Faber, I just don't think that he's – unless he can get Peter Yan to the ground and finish him on the ground, I just don't think he's going to go in there and beat this guy on his feet. Peter Yan, I want to say, is a lot younger than Faber. And a lot more fresh in the game, and I just think he has more weapons on his feet, and I don't think Faber's gonna be able to deal with that. So I'm gonna say Peter Yan by TKO round 2.
Kind of agree with you that Yan would definitely have to keep the fight on his feet. I think if Uriah takes him down, it'll be a done deal. I don't think Peter Yan would have ever fought anybody that can wrestle like Uriah Faber. Uriah Faber is definitely a beast on the mat. If Peter Yan can keep the fight standing, he has a better chance of winning. I'm going to go with Peter Yan by split decision. I think the fight goes the distance. I don't think Uriah Faber gets knocked out. But I think Peter Yan striking would be the biggest difference in this fight. But I wouldn't be surprised if Uriah Faber was to submit him if he was to get him to the ground. But I'm going to be with you, and I think I'm taking Yan in this fight. So next up, we got Marlon Moraes welcoming Jose Aldo to the bantamweight division. Watching Aldo this week, I don't like the way his body looked. I think coming down to 135 was a big mistake. I think he was already having problems making 145. So why would you go down instead of going up? And there are more big money fights at 155 for Jose than 135. With that being said, if Jose can come out and establish his leg kick game along with his jab, I think he can beat Moraes, because Moraes showed us against Henry Cejudo that he gasses early, and he gassed real early against Cejudo. But, Bender, I don't like the way Jose Aldo body looked. I don't think he had a good weight cut. I'm going to take Marlon Moraes and a split decision win over Jose Aldo.
You're taking Moraes by split decision over Aldo. Okay.
Yep.
So, this one, I'm thinking that I agree with what you're saying, and I've been seeing a lot of pictures circulating of Aldo, and he really, he looks to be in rough shape at 135. I feel like this was a really bad cut for him, even though there's, you know, quotes out there. Apparently he said that it was, you know, he feels great and things like that, and or it's the best he's ever felt, something like that. You know, there was a quote out there along those lines. And I don't know. I just feel like it looks like he had a really difficult time getting the weight off. And I know he weighed in at 136. So he just barely made it without missing weight. So to me, that does not say that it was easy. That says they just made it, because you 136.1, you missed weight. So 136, you're on the cusp. And I agree with you. I don't know why he chose to go down instead of going up. I believe he's a bigger guy, and also, like you said, there's more interesting, you know, and bigger fights for him in at lightweight division than there is in the 135 division. And I'm also surprised that he wouldn't want to go up to get a rematch with Conor. You know, I thought that was, from what I know, that was what they wanted that at, you know, a couple different times. But anywho, I just don't think that. I mean, this is a tough fight for me, because, like, I really thought about it. You know, given, even though Aldo didn't look too good, we know that three round Aldo is one of the best fighters ever. When he fights three rounds, most of the time he wins. When he fights five rounds, you know, his cardio does not hold up. Once he gets into the fourth round, we've seen it. You know, we've seen it before. You know, he gasses out later in the fight. Sometimes we've seen him gas out sooner than the championship rounds. But, you know, he's his best for the first two rounds, and then, like, somewhere in round three, he starts to slow down. But, you know, Moraes, I'm going to take Moraes in this fight, even though I've been picking Aldo in his last few. But that was because, you know, with respect to the opponent, I really felt that way. But Moraes, though, I think coming off that, his loss to Cejudo, you know, he's at his natural weight versus a guy who I think, you know, has cut too much weight. And with the recent trend of fighters, like we were talking about in last week's show, like Aspen Ladd, you know, fighters getting to the scale and looking very sick, you know, for lack of a better word, due to their weight cut, and then the way those fights have gone, you know, with you know, those fighters getting finished after having, you know, a tough weight cut, I just see, I don't know if I see Aldo getting knocked out, but I just don't see him winning. I don't think he's going to be at his best with getting at that size. So I take Marlon Moraes. I'll take Moraes by unanimous decision. I think he'll just dominate on the feet, and that'll be, you know, Aldo will fade in the third round. That'll come down to that.
All right.
Moraes might even get a 10-8 round in the third round. Now that I really let it marinate, We might see Moraes get a 10-8 round in the third, and that'll sway him the fight from all the judges.
Wow, that's an interesting insight right there. 10-8 round, huh?
Never heard me say something with a 10-8 round before, huh?
Wow. Predicting a 10-8 round. That's what I'm talking about. But you know, like we said, when we make our predictions, we have to take a lot of things into consideration. And I'm taking the way Jose looked. I'm taking that Moraes has fought at 135. And, you know, I just don't think 135 is the right decision for him. He might prove us wrong, but we both got Marlon Moraes winning this fight. So next up, we got our first championship fight of the night. We got the Lioness Amanda Nunes versus Jermaine GDR Durandamy. Who you got, Keith?
Man, I was going to ask you if you want to kick this one off. You want me to kick it off? Okay, so Amanda Nunes, you know, I'm not as technical as, you know, the UFC countdown where you have, what's the guy's name there that I love watching? He used to be a fighter. Great commentary. I can't remember his name. Mickey Gall. I remember Mickey Gall called him out one time, and everybody was like, why are you calling this guy out? He's a retired fighter, but he's a – oh, Dan something. But he's on the UFC countdown, and I'm not as technical as him, right? He's unbelievable with his fight breakdowns. I'm trying to get – you know, I'm aspiring to get to that level where I can break down fights to that depth. But, you know, this fight for me anyways is not a fight that needs depth to break down. I really, you know, Jermaine Durandamy, like, I was on Twitter like a couple months ago and people were saying that, like, oh, like, GDR should fight for the title. And I was like, why? You know, the last time I remembered seeing her was when she fought Holly Holm and had, like, one of the most underwhelming title fights I've ever seen in my history of watching UFC. And I just was like, why? And then she gave up the belt. She didn't want to fight or something like this. And then apparently I missed her fight with somebody who she beat somebody who was somebody, and I missed it. And I don't remember the names. I'm having trouble with the names tonight. But she fought somebody that was somebody, and I missed it. And she beat her, and they said, oh, Bennington's off of the title, you know, not long ago. She just beat Bennington, so she's right there, you know, MMA mathematically. So that was understandable. But then, you know, I guess I was a bit more impressed when I actually saw her finish of Aspen Ladd. I was like, okay, because Aspen Ladd, a lot of people were saying that she was next and that she beat her. So, you know, she deserves to be there. But even with that, though, I just, you know, she got the kickboxing background. You know, she's a pure athlete. You know, she's very, 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 you know, she's always in great shape when she comes to the fight. You know, you never see her looking like she hasn't been, you know, training extremely hard. So I definitely give her that, you know. And I just, you know, I still don't see how she beats Amanda Nunes. And I really, I can't even picture her beating Amanda Nunes, to be honest. You know, it's just so far out of the realm of possibility in my mind. Yeah. You know, Amanda Nunes, I'm going to take. You know, I think she's going to finish her. I want to say TKO in round two. Not two, maybe round three, but I'll go round two first because then Nunes likes to get these girls out of there sooner than later. So I think she'll just go for it in the first two rounds. Second round, she'll get it done. She might even have a knockdown in round one, in my opinion.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight my man Keys has definitely hurt my feelings because if my man Keys would have read my article on Is Amanda Nunes Beatable, he would have read that I said Jermaine Durandamy has a great chance of beating Amanda Nunes. In my article that I wrote about Amanda Nunes being beatable, I said Jermaine Durandamy has to do one of two things. The first thing she has to do is she has to survive the first round. Amanda Nunes has been finishing most of her fights in the first round. Now, if you go back to the last fight she lost because she got gassed. And when she got gassed, she ended up getting finished because she couldn't keep her cardio up. I also said that Jermaine Durandamy needs to make Nunes carry her weight around the octagon, lean on her, get her against the cage, and have Amanda be on the defensive, not the offensive. Most of the time we have seen Amanda, she's dictating the pace of the fight. She's basically making her opponents react to her instead of her opponents, instead of her reacting to her opponents. With that being said, I think Jermaine Durandamy has power in her hands. I think she has a puncher's chance of beating the champ. But I can't go against the greatest women's fighter in mixed martial arts history, Amanda Nunes. I think Amanda has to survive this fight. I don't think she out and out wins the fight. I think she survives the fight. I say Amanda Nunes wins this fight 4-1. And I say this will probably be her last fight at 135 for a while. I think the next time we see her fight will probably be 145. Like I said, I'm going to take Amanda Nunes to win this fight 4 tough rounds, and I give Jermaine Durandamy 1 round. So I give Amanda Nunes winning by unanimous decision and a very, very tough fight. Amanda Nunes will be tested in this fight.
Man, I just want to, like, just disclaimer real quick. Disclaimer, I'm just thinking about, like, oh, man, dude. I wanted to put, like, some kind of sound effect to, like, say disclaimer right there. It was, like, it was the perfect time. But, nah, like, disclaimer, I just, like, you know, based on the predictions we've been making before we get into the last two fights, based on the predictions that we've been making, I really hope that we're wrong. with a lot of our predictions. I really hope we're wrong because, like, I feel like me and you collectively have been predicting a lot of decision wins. And, man, I really hope not all these fights go to decision. I hope these go to finishes. Like, it's the way I picture it happening, and we picture it going that way because a lot of these matchups are so they're such good fights and they're so closely matched that it's hard to picture one or the other finishing the others, and that happens a lot, you know, in the UFC. But I hope we're wrong, and I hope there's a bit more finishes than we're predicting. That's just all I want to say about that.
But the thing is, though, is these fights are basically the number one person fighting the number two person. Or is these are very good matchups. And normally when you have good matchups, fighters are a little bit more strategic and technical in those fights than they are against guys or girls they're supposed to beat. So they take less chances in fights like this. So that's why I think you will see more decisions because we'll see more technical fighting, more strategy being implemented, and you'll see basically coaching actually coming through in these fights, because these are this is basically five other man. You got Faber Yan, Moraes Aldo, Faber, a former champ, Aldo, a former champ, Moraes just fought for a belt, Peter Yan, an upcoming talent, Jermaine Durandamy, a 145 champ, Nunez, a champ right now. You got Holloway, a champ that was going for two belts. Covington was an interim champ, and Usman is a champ. And Volkanovski is 20-1. So these are very, very tough fights to pick. So if they go to the judges' scorecard, I wouldn't be mad if they were action-packed fights. I would be mad if they were boring fights. If you give me something like Derek Lewis and Ngannou, I'll be mad. But if you give me, let's say, Max Holloway, Dustin Poirier, going to the scorecards, I'll take that every day of the week.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's, you know, a lot of the these are the type of cards that we, me and you, often talk about and have said, like, that we wanted to see the UFC get back to title fights where you had the champion fighting the legit number one contender and not, like, you know, somebody who they have history with that's, like, ranked number eight or something, or, like, who talked, you know, who was talking smack to them, you know, on ESPN, but is actually, like, number, you know, rank nine or something like that, and start to see the best guys fight the best guys and have the champions, you know, like this, like we have here, champion versus number two, Covington, champion versus number one, Volkanovski, champion versus number one, Durandamy. So, you know, in terms of title fights and competition, you really can't ask for more than that, you know, and Moraes, you know, number one versus the number three featherweight. Featherweight moving down. So that's the spirit of competition fight. And then number four versus number 12 Faber, I mean, that one's kind of like, you know, one-sided in terms of the rank. It's kind of like a shot for Faber, but, you know, it's still competitive. So, you know, a guy with a really strong background and another guy with another, you know, really strong background in a different discipline. So that's great. And this is an unbelievable card. So, with that being said, let's jump into, and you could kick it off with Max Holloway versus Alexander Volkanovski.
Actually, I think this is one of the easier fights to pick for me. Alexander Volkanovski has a 20-1 record. You know, very tough guy. You know, he talked a lot of smack after the Frankie Edgar fight, saying what he would have did differently. But at the same time, I'm looking at guys he done fought since he's been in the UFC. And I see he beat Jose Aldo, unanimous decision. He fought Aldo in Brazil, and he beat him. Chad Mendez on his way out the door. You know, Chad has been in a lot of wars, and I think he was coming off of suspension, so he hadn't been in the octagon in a while, and he beat Darren Elkins. Looking at his record, you can actually say that who has he fought to deserve this title shot? And I would say nobody. But what happens is the UFC looks at your record and they kind of base, you know, your rating or your rank based on your win and losses. He's 20-1, and, you know, that's not a bad record. You know, a lot of people killed a high 20-1. But if you dive deep into his record, who has he really beaten? He's definitely about to have a step up in competition going against Max Holloway, who's coming off a win against probably one of the best fighters the UFC has ever seen, and Frankie Edgar. This fight is easy for me to pick. Alexander Volkanovski, the only way he can win is he has to close the distance. Max has almost a 3-inch reach advantage on him, and Max is 5 inches taller than him. So, with that being said, and Max superior takedown defense, and we have never seen Volkanovski take anybody down, I'm going to take Max Holloway, third round TKO, over Volkanovski. I don't think Volkanovski can close the distance. I don't think he has a wrestling game. And if you don't have a wrestling game, you can't beat Max Holloway. You have to be able to make Max get up off the mat. You can't let his striking be the forefront of his offense. And I just don't see Volkanovski being able to take him down. I got Max Holloway, third round TKO. And still.
Yeah. I don't really know what they have for odds in Vegas for this fight. I don't usually look at the odds, but I am kind of curious. I might have to pull that up after we get off the air and see what the odds
are. Max is minus 180, and Volkanovski is plus 150.
Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering because, the last time we had a guy, kind of surge in the division and you had, Holloway and Ortega, there was so many people on the Ortega, hype train. And even Vegas had Holloway as the underdog. When he was defending his title, he was the underdog. And then we saw what he did with that. So I'm not saying that this is similar to that. I was just curious about that. But, I'm surprised to see the people that have Volkanovski winning this fight. I don't see – this is similar to the Nunes fight for me where I just don't see how Volkanovski can beat Holloway. What he did with Aldo, I was very unimpressed by. And I really didn't see a dangerous fighter when I watched it, especially to a Max Holloway. I really don't think he's dangerous to Max Holloway. And I just don't see how he poses a threat to the title. I mean, unless he can, manage to clinch Max against the cage the entire fight like he did to Aldo, which I don't think he's going to be able to do. I really don't think that he bests Max in the stand-up, which is really his strong suit from what we've seen so far. As you said, Lee, he really has not shown us a wrestling game. So, I don't see – there's few people in the UFC anyways that can, best Max Holloway in the striking department. So, and I really don't think Volkanovski can do it. He beat – over the hill Mendez and over the hill Aldo. So I really don't. And other than that, I don't even know who else this guy has fought. So I might be biased and Max Holloway is like top three of my favorite fighters, but I honestly just don't see how Volkanovski can beat him at all. So yeah, I'm going to go with Max Holloway. I don't want to say – I'm leaning towards unanimous decision. I mean, I'd like to see him get a finish, but I think it might – Volkanovski might just hang in there, and it might be a unanimous decision, and Holloway would just put on an absolute striking clinic similar to how he did versus Brian Ortega. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Holloway with unanimous decision.
Okay. Brings us to the main event. Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington. Kamaru Usman coming off of his title win over Tyron Woodley, and Colby Covington coming off a dominant win over Robbie Lawler.
One second. How did you have Holloway winning, by the way? Did you tell them?
TKO third round.
Okay. Go ahead, go ahead.
Man, this hurts me to say, because I don't like the guy personally. I don't like a lot of the stuff that he says. But I have to be objective. And I think Khabib Covington is going to beat Kamaru Usman. I think Covington's pace and activity would get Usman problems. Covington is just as good a wrestler as Usman. I don't know whether or not Covington has the power that Usman possesses, but I do know Covington's pace is definitely gives his opponents a problem. Because he keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. Until you back him up, I think it was the RDA fight that he just kept coming out at the beginning of each round, pressing RDA back. But when RDA came out, and I want to say the second round, and kind of let him know he was there, Kobe kind of slowed down a little bit. But that being said, I think Covington beats Usman via split decision, and we will probably get one of the worst post-fight interviews in UFC history, and there will probably be so many boos that you will not be able to hear in this interview. But at the same time is, I think this will be Kobe's coming out party to really announce that he's one of the best in the world, like he's been saying. It's just something about Usman that I haven't liked leading up to this fight. He's been super quiet. He really hasn't matched Kobe's intensity leading up to the fight. And that's kind of made me weary, but at the same time, it could be the calm before the storm. You know, maybe he's going to unleash everything in him once they lock that cage door and they introduce the fighters and they ring the bell. I'm going to go with Kobe Covington winning this fight by split decision over Kamaru Usman.
So, you know, this fight for me is hard for me to. I mean, when you just look at it statistically, it's like, you know, it's funny because this, to a lot of people, is like one of the biggest fights of the year, if not like the biggest fight of the year. And it's just so funny because, like, the feud is, like, makes it the biggest fight of the year. But, like, if you really look at, like, what these guys do in the octagon, it's really a snooze. And, like, these guys combined, I think, have, like, a 60% knockout rate. Like, these guys don't even really finish fights. Like, I think in their last, like, four fights each, they probably have, like, six decisions at least, if not more. So, oh, man, dude, I'm really afraid this is going to be a total snooze of a main event. Like, there's been times where I was so excited for fights, but then it was a snooze. This one, I'm expecting it to be a snooze. So if it's not and it's exciting, then I guess that's good for me because I'll be pleasantly surprised. But it's hard for me to not think that when you look at Usman's fighting style, to me, is extremely boring. I mean, the way he fought against Woodley was – there was little to no action in the fight at all. I don't even remember seeing barely any punches thrown. So, I don't know. I mean, and then Covington, I honestly didn't see Covington's fight versus Lawler, but I heard he landed, like, over, like, 200 significant strikes or something like that. And he had – I want to say he had, like, 10-plus takedowns. So – He's been fighting out of his mind lately, and um, But at the same time, you know, I think that wrestling, I don't think that a lot of people like to say that wrestling cancels each other out. I don't think that wrestling cancels each other out. I think this can still be a wrestling match. I think both guys can still use their wrestling to the full capacity at the same time without it having to cancel out. I don't think that – I don't understand why people always say that, that if two people are skilled in the same discipline, it cancels out. I don't understand that theory. I get that if you look at the fight like Ben Askren and Damian Maia that we just saw where it was like, you know, a really good, highly skilled wrestler and then a highly skilled Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Damian Maia, you know, the two guys were ended up like fighting on their feet and kind of standing, they were kind of stand and bang for a little while, but then it did end up on the mat. So a fight like that, or like Weidman and Jacare, where it was like ended up on the feet, but those two guys are kind of more known for their ground game. But I mean, I wouldn't say it cancels out. I would say it's more just get two guys respecting each other's ability. But this fight, where it's two wrestlers, but I can't see them respecting each other's ability because they just don't. They don't respect each other. I think they're just gonna both use all. Hopefully, both use all the tools that they have, and even though Covington has done more, you know, I didn't see his last fight, but he has definitely put in more work in his last fight, you know, statistically than Usman did, and I do want to lean towards him winning. I'm actually going to go with a majority draw. I think I'm going to go with a majority draw in the hope that both guys.
Oh, man, what? A draw?
So a majority draw, right? And it's going to be a snooze, but the two guys are going to both wrestle, and they're going to hopefully use, like, all the tools in the basket. And it's going to come to a majority draw. We're going to have to watch this fight again in 2020 when there's a rematch for more money. That's what I think is going to happen. It's going to be a big rematch. That's my prediction.
Wow.
That's me being objective. You said we got to be more objective on this show. So I was trying to be more objective. If I was being subjective, I would say Covington dominates it. I was being subjective. Okay, that's my opinion. Not looking at it statistically. It's my opinion of what I think will happen. You're saying we got to be more objective, so that's my objective, because I think majority draw. I tell you.
All right. I'm actually shocked, man, because I don't think we ever have predicted a majority draw on our show before. That's the first time, but I understand it. And actually, you know what, Ben, the way you made it sound makes sense, because it's just going to be a bunch of man-humping. It's going to be hard to score, you know. I mean, for real, if it's going to be a whole lot of man-humping, yes, it's going to be hard for the referees to score. And I can see them basically, you know, somebody looking at it the one way, another ref looking at it another way. So I can roll with that.
See,
I wouldn't be surprised. But see, now I wouldn't be surprised because you actually brought it to my attention.
No, it's not. It definitely sounds. It sounds a little out there because you don't really see that many majority draws in the UFC. But we did just have. It was a fight I watched the other day in the UFC that was a majority draw. I can't remember who it was, but it was a good fight and they were a majority draw. And then you know we had Woodley and Thompson was I think a split draw. I think they had a split draw in that fight. I don't even know what the difference of those two things are, but. Damn, you're lucky I didn't predict a split draw.
Yeah, man. Wow. The fight that was a majority, that was a split. It was actually last weekend?
I want to say it was last weekend's card.
Was it the Calvillo Rodriguez fight?
Actually, it was
the female fight.
And that one was actually kind of surprising for me too, because I felt like Calvillo probably dominated the third round on the scorecards. Like, I can't imagine, you know, she dominated with the wrestling, but then the first two rounds, I could believe if they gave him to Rodriguez. So I was kind of surprised that it would have came to, I thought they would have had Rodriguez winning the fight, you know, 2-1 at least. But even though I'm a big fan of Calvillo, but yeah, that's what, you know.
No, I think that ended up being a majority draw, because Calpia, I think she got a 10-8 round in that third round, because she dominated that third round, and that's why I think they had the majority draw. Because if she would have had a 10-9 round, she would have lost.
Oh, so you think Rodriguez got the first two rounds 10-9?
Yeah, and I think our girl ended up getting the third round 10-8.
Oh, you're a fan of Calvillo too?
Yeah, I like Calvillo. I was kind of mad she missed weight, but, you know, I like her.
She's been having problems lately missing weight. I feel like she's missed weight a couple times in her past handful of fights.
That's not a good look.
I could be wrong, but I want to say she's missed weight at least one other time in her last, you know, two previous fights before that one. But maybe it's somebody else. But I do tend to watch Calvillo's fights more than you know. She's one of the females that I do really try to watch when her fights are on. So, you know, that of all people, I'd probably remember if she missed weight. Speaking of which, Jessica, I missed weight today by like 5 or 6 pounds. Yeah, man, she was like 5 or 6 pounds. Oh, yeah, because she was fighting for flyweight, so 125. She weighed in at 131.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm definitely shocked by that, because she normally does pretty good. Wow.
Yeah,
Jessica.
Man.
That might be frustration of losing her title fight against Shevchenko. When she got starts with a leg kick.
Yeah, I mean, these girls got to give themselves a bit more credit, though. It's Shevchenko's like, you know, Shevchenko is Shevchenko. It's like you can lose to certain people and not have to, you know, kick yourself in the behind, you know, for a year. Like, it's, you might still do it anyways, but, like, there's some fighters who it's like, these are some of the greatest fighters, you know, we've ever seen type deal. So it's not like, you know, Shevchenko's probably going to be the champion for a long time. So she's great.
Damn, she weighed in at 131. Wow. I'm definitely shocked by that. But, yeah, man, but you know what, man? I'm gonna say one more thing about this card. Ian Hines versus Amari Akhmadov. I think that's an underrated fight of the night potential, man. Ian Heinisch has been on the turn here lately, and Amakhmadov is a tough dude, man. So don't be surprised if that fight turns out to be one of the fights that people are talking about late Saturday night or early Sunday morning about this Ian Heinisch and Omari Akhmadov fight.
Yeah, I'll have to keep my eye on that one now that you brought it up. Keep a closer eye on that fight. I'm gonna try to be watching nice and early tomorrow. So I get to, catch everything.
Okay.
Keep an eye on that.
Oh, ESPN.com. They got the guaranteed purchase for tomorrow. Kamaru Usman, $500K. Kobe Covington, $500K. Max Holloway, $350K. Volkanovski, $250K. Amanda Nunes, $350K plus $100K win bonus. And Jermaine Durandamy, $100K.
This is, you would see, like,
James
kind of a world.
Yeah, see, this is what I was trying to say before about Bellator when I said how Bellator, when I was saying, Bellator's double champ was defending his heavyweight title, and both of the guys only made $100K each. And then, I was kind of saying that, UFC, low pay in the UFC is like the highest pay in Bellator. In comparison. But that, the standard, it's like the standard of living. When you're making a certain amount of money, you compare it to how much money you could be making if you were in a different situation. So, Jermaine Durandamy making $100,000, you would think she'd be making $200,000, being that she's in a title fight. So that, for the UFC in a title fight, to me, is kind of low. But then again, I'm sure there's a lot of variables that go into it with the management. I do feel like it's got to be in the negotiations.
Yeah, man, I'm shocked by these prices, man. I can't believe Max Holloway is getting less than Kobe Covington, dog. And he the champ.
Yeah, that is really crazy. That point right there, I didn't pick up on that until you just said it. But that's not because it wasn't there. It was there. I just somehow it slipped past me. But that is really crazy because Covington, like you said, he was the interim champ, but then he got stripped of the belt, so he's really not a champ. And then Max Holloway is on, I think, his third title defense, and before his three title defenses, he was already on, I want to say, a 10-fight win streak. So he's on a 13. I think he's on a 13-fight win streak, which includes this is his fourth title defense, actually. My mistake. He's going on his fourth title defense. So, yeah, that right there is, yeah, man. I don't know. He should be making more money.
Yeah, because he beat Aldo, defended against Aldo, defended against Ortega, then he lost to Poirier at 155, and then he beat Frankie. And before that, I'm just going to name the guys he beat. Anthony Pettis, Ricardo Lamas, Jeremy Stevens, Charles Oliveira, Cub Swan. Those are the guys he's a beat since April 17, 2015.
Quick question on, you said no interest in
me. Wow. And he's always been a game fighter for the UFC, too. When they needed somebody to fight Khabib, he was going to step in on a week's notice. So that's the kind of fighter that you have right there. What kind of champion that you have right there. And I feel like he's underappreciated, man.
Yeah, man. Damn. I mean, wow. He should at least be making $500,000 like Usman and Covington. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Wow. Well, bro, 2:45 tomorrow. I'm having a fight party tomorrow. You said that y'all gonna be watching the fights tomorrow. So we'll definitely be doing a 2:45 review show next week, everybody. So you know, stay tuned. Leah Keys Friday Night Edition, UFC 2:45 preview show. Predictions. Any last words for the people, Keys?
Yeah, my last words would probably just be that we'll probably try to get on earlier this coming week. We went on Friday tonight, but I want to say we'll see what happens. We could do a Wednesday show. We might get on for the Wednesday show, but if we go to either Wednesday's or Friday schedule, but you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll try to get on even earlier than that. We'll see if the schedule permits. And definitely gonna want to wrap up the card and talk about, you know, which title switch hands, if any, and talk about, you know, the card full of decisions that we predicted. And yeah, so that's it. So watch the fight tomorrow. It's gonna be unbelievable. I still think the main event's gonna be a snooze. So the rest of the card is gonna be unbelievable. Holloway Volkanovski is the real main event. In my subjective take, Holloway is the main event. And then you have a snooze. So that's there. And just know you heard it here first. And that's it. Enjoy your Saturday and weekend. Thank you all for all listeners who listen. Have a great night.
Thanks everybody for listening. Enjoy the fights. If you're out and about and you are having a good time, make sure you drink responsibly. No drinking and driving. And tune in for next week when we talk about when we review the card next week. Lee and Key signing out Friday Night Edition. As always, love, live, laugh. Tell somebody you love them. Live your life to the fullest and have one good laugh every day.
That's true. He wants to fight that day.